Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Heck yeah.
Even though the season's over, we still got fresh news for you 5 days a week.
Oh yeah, a whole lot of hot goss today too.
Ooh, yeah. We're going to kick things off with a little What You Say Wednesday. Basically just reaching out there to the Clipper fans to see who are you excited about as a coach?
Yeah.
There's apparently a bidding war for Ty Lue, so we got to talk a little bit
about
that.
There's a lot of people who want Ty Lue.
There's a lot of interest. It makes sense. You know, he's got the pedigree. And then in segment two, the expectations for the Clippers, in case you didn't know, are already astronomically high.
Yeah.
Vegas already has us as a favorite.
Vegas believes in us. I'll tell you what.
You know what? I love those folks in Vegas. So we got to talk about that. And then in shavings, another random award. But I feel like
this is a team issued award, so this one makes a little more sense.
I think there should be more team issued awards.
Definitely.
But anyways, Fee, recipient of a new award, so we're going to kind of talk about that. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to What You Say Wednesday, where we usually put out a poll on Twitter, at Locked On Clips. I put out a couple, messed up the formatting a couple times, which was totally on me, so I apologize.
Nobody's nerfed, you know?
Exactly. That's what J. Cole should have called that song. But so we had some Ty Lue news, but let's talk to the poll first. So we've had five coaches linked to the Clippers so far.
Correct.
Ty Lue, Wes Unseld Jr., Mike Brown, Jeff Van Gundy.
Yes. I'd be a little bit more psyched on Stan, but anyway,
I would be way more psyched on Stan. And then Darvin Ham. So the outright leader for fan picks was Ty Lue, which, like, of these, you know, I can see of these five, right? Like, I'm sold on Wes Unseld for sure.
Yeah, Unseld Jr. looks really strong.
But, like, okay, it makes sense that Ty Lue was the outright pick, right? Like,
well, would you personally still put Ty Lue ahead of him, or you'd prefer a first-year coach?
See, that's what's so... We're in such seemingly win-now mode.
Yeah.
That it seems like Ty Lue, but...
Unseld Jr., though, like, has experience with a winning franchise. Yeah.
And we want a guy who's going to be here for more than 3 years, we assume.
Right?
I mean, I do. And then Mike Brown was dead last, which kind of surprised me because I don't understand how Jeff Van Gundy gets more love than Mike Brown in this poll.
Yeah, okay, that's
crazy.
That's very surprising to me. The Jeff Van Gundy as a head coach thing.
It almost started as a joke, and now it's like a very real thing.
I feel it. So, yeah, I do feel like that it's almost a joke every single time there's a coaching vacancy. However, this year there's actual legitimate interest, both from the Rockets and... maybe from the Clippers. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Mark Stein thinks so.
Yeah. So, man, look, what he did with that Knicks team, 15 years ago?
It was a while ago.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. So he's also coached, like, he got the Team USA to the FIBA World Cup. He coached, like, the last one, and he coached, I think, another world team. I think it was, like, not a U-20 team or something like that.
Yeah, he's had international experience.
So, like, there's some international experience, which is good because...
Oh, sorry.
It's just not a... It just, like, for the innovation standpoint, you're like, what are we doing here?
My thing is just hearing him commentate, the way he talks about the game.
He hates it.
He hates the game, the game of basketball is played right now.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he's able to come up with some left field thing
that
shocks
everybody.
Maybe it's
like a character or something, yeah.
But I don't think that Jeff Van Gundy is that guy.
And he's not the answer for the Clippers.
I put him dead last
in these five.
Yes.
Like, firmly dead last. Few comments mentioned Wes Unseld, but people didn't actually seem that excited about him, which I don't really know why.
I don't know,
He's got a good resume. He was just with the team that dismantled us, albeit not the most difficult team to dismantle when you're running Trez out there so much.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's, like we talked about with Mike Malone, like, Mike Malone explains things so well that I can't imagine that Unseld hasn't.
Picked up gleaned a few things. And then the other thing is, like, Unseld is definitely, I mean, out of all of these guys, I would say he's the best development guy.
You look at the Nuggets.
Yeah, you look at the Nuggets. He's credited, you know, with the huge leap that both Jamal and Jokic took. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That to me looks really good. Even though we don't necessarily have the pieces to develop, I still think that makes you maybe use players in a way that's advantageous to their style.
For sure. Which is why, like, in terms of, like, you know, so this is basically, you know, three previous head coaches versus two guys who are going to be new. I think Wes Unseld gets the edge over Darvin Ham in terms of, like, me being excited about it.
In my book, yes.
Which is why I think the Clippers might pick Darvin Ham. Which of these five are you most excited about? Like, who would you pick right now? Steve Ballmer, gun to your head.
I would kind of be inclined to play it safe and go with Ty Lue. My only reservations really is, like, how much does he have holdover from Doc?
Yeah, which, like, so we got asked on Twitter Tuesday, like, how come we haven't just hired Ty Lue yet outright if he's the favorite, right? And I think that definitely has something to do with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's going to have to present to the front office a clear plan of how he can pivot and avoid the pitfalls of last year.
Yeah.
Which I do think that he's capable of doing.
You think would be easy to do because it was pretty one big glaring pitfall you can at least point out pretty quickly if you're Ty Lue. Right?
100%. And I don't know, man. Like, I think I've brought this up two other times on the podcast, but, like, that 2016 finals that he coached, yes, he had LeBron, but that was still a team that was outgunned
yes.
by the best team, by head and shoulders, the best team in the league. And they came in there with a great plan. They utilized players to their skill sets, and they grinded out a win.
And Steve Kerr talks about it, too. He's like, he still doesn't understand how, I think it was, there's this one pick and roll that Ty Lue was running that he couldn't figure out how to stop. So it's like,
and
Steve
Kerr's
saying that.
Yeah, and they slowed down the Warriors. They made them play their game.
They made adjustments, like, too.
Yes.
So, like, that's what I like. But so, Ty Lue is a very hot commodity. He had a good interview with the Rockets, but they apparently won't extend an offer to him until they've interviewed other hot commodity Jeff Van Gundy, previous coach. Like, I could see them maybe hiring Jeff Van Gundy. And he was named, Ty Lue was named as a finalist for the Pels job with Stan Van Gundy. So
yeah.
He's battling the Van Gundys right now.
He's one of what for that Pels?
Four
candidates.
As reported.
Right?
Yeah. So, like, dude, I mean, he's evidently crushing his interviews, which is not really that big of a surprise. A note on Jeff Van Gundy. He said he doesn't want to uproot his family to coach, like, if preferred.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of lends me to believe that he's not coming to the Clippers.
I don't think, look.
Because they're going to have to pay him, you're going to have to pay him a bunch to get him away from the Rockets, and then you're probably going to have to add a, like, you have to relocate your family fee to it, I would think.
Yes, Steve Ballmer wants drastic changes. That is not Jeff Van Gundy.
He's
going
to uproot your family. That's a drastic change.
You know what? That's a very good point. So how much, I mean, like, how much does this worry you? Just given the competition right now surrounding Ty Lue, I mean, it seems like he has his pick of suitors.
And it's such two different scenarios, right? Like, you look at the Rockets and Clippers, and say which, you know, you can think what you want to think about the Rockets. Their expectations are a championship.
Absolutely. And Ty Lue said he would love to coach two MVPs.
Yeah. And the Clippers' expectation, they're in the same group, is championship. You look at the other side with the Pels, and I was going back and forth with someone on Twitter about this. The Pels are kind of in this, like, we're a team that's been rebuilt, you could kind of say.
Yeah.
They're on the upswing, but there's no...
They're in the development stage.
Exactly. There's no immediate, like, you better win a championship type vibe. So
I think they're 2 years from, like, maybe they don't make the playoffs this year. I still think it would be a disappointment.
I still think it would be overall
a disappointment. But they're 2 years from, like, if you're not making it to the second round or past, it's going to be pretty harshly viewed.
So, like, and, you know, there was reports when Ty Lue was with Cleveland, like, his health was rough during those championship years. Because, like, I mean, as people know, NBA coaches, like, don't sleep.
Yeah, like, can't chief there either.
Yeah, can't smoke weed. So, like, what does, you know, because Ty Lue has the chip, what does he, you know, is he going to value maybe less of a expectation role with the Pels, or is he going to want to throw himself into win the championship? Because if you don't win the championship with the Clippers this next year, you're gone, right?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look good.
Just depending on how things, you know, roll out. There's the West is going to be even harder next year.
Yes.
We all know that. But yes, I would think that of the three teams, the Clippers have the highest expectations. And
in a more desperate way, and I don't mean that in such a negative connotation.
But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. This, you know, this season is the pitch to why Kawhi and Paul George should stay Clippers for life, baby. So it's going to be hugely important. I guess the reason I still lean to him for the Clippers is A, that experience, and B, I just think he's going to get the respect of the locker room, maybe more so than anyone on this list. Although, to me, Unsold Jr. is still at, like, he's still a close second for me.
He's definitely there. We're going to be talking kind of the expectation for the Clippers coming up next. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bar. Are they new and improved?
Built Bar is, in fact, new and improved. If you didn't know, it's a health bar. It's a protein bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate. It's delicious. It now comes in 18 amazing flavors. There's nut and non-nut flavors for those with allergies. If you have allergies, it can sometimes be a pain. It seems like everything else is peanut butter flavored. but they have 18 amazing flavors, as I said. And the great thing about Built Bars is they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, which, you know, that's a luxury William the Opinion has to have.
You know,
the bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high fiber, which makes them great for the keto diet. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners.
What?
If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all caps, one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com. And I'll say it again.
Please.
Promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, welcome to, Vegas's optimism about the Los Angeles Clippers.
Love it.
I love the two early odds.
Does Vegas love the Clippers more than the Knights? Think piece.
Yeah, let's start a dialogue. So it has way too early odds from Vegas Insider, has the Lakers at plus 350 and the Clippers at plus 400 to win the championship, above the Bucks, Celtics, and in fifth place, the Warriors. So you can tell these are some way too early odds. As a fan, because you don't ever gamble, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do at card tables. Okay. I don't sports
gamble.
You don't
sports bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a smarter person than I. Does this make you hyped in any way as a fan to see Vegas?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely
not. That's fair.
If anything, it makes it worse.
Yeah. Like, this kind of adds to the expectations. As someone who does occasionally enjoy betting on sports, these odds make no goddamn sense. We don't have a head coach yet. We have a bunch of free agency question marks. Like,
I wish we were minus 400.
Yeah, I wish we were just at the very bottom of this. I mean, a lot of gamblers do too. So this kind of begs the question, like, a lot of next season hinged, we kind of all assumed, like, oh, Doc's going to get at least the 2 years with Kawhi and PG under contract. So the expectations were big. Now that Doc's gone, do the expectations stay the same? Like, how have they changed, do you think?
Well, I think they've changed in that you're assuming better, more congruent situation than we had last year.
Yes.
And I also think that they're assuming that we do make some sort of roster move.
Yes.
And also that just naturally, you know, super teams a lot of times in their first year don't have a lot of luck. I know the Warriors ruined that expectation for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They
were a different kind of super team. They were a homegrown super team.
Yeah, right? then became a truly super team.
Yeah, like they drafted their three core and then got KD, whereas, like, I mean, the Lakers and Clippers specifically, it's kind of like, we got these guys.
Yeah.
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 We didn't have a system.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that would definitely encourage optimism in bettors. And then just, you know, I mean, it's to me the same thing as last year. You know, you look at the roster, and there's a lot of talent there. I mean, just top to bottom, it's really hard if you're, you know, if basketball was just stacks of paper to see a team.
Hey, we're all paper champions, baby.
to see a team to me that looks stronger. So yeah, I don't know.
It's tough because if Doc was still the coach, my expectation was like, well, we know the one giant flaw that you have to fix, Doc, and once you fix it, I have no. You know, I have no doubt that we would have made the Western Conference Finals. Who knows what would happen when we got there?
Surely.
But next year, it's like,
you don't think someone else is going to be able to readily correct that one mistake, I think, that we're both talking about.
I think they are, because that Trez isn't going to be on the team.
Yes.
Is my
Oh, I was thinking salmon polos every game.
Well, look, that's a very good call. There were no Vegas odds on the most used polo color, which is pretty disappointing. But no, like, and because of how rough this season went, the expectations on the next head coach are going to be, dude, it might be finals or bust. And I'm not saying we have to win the championship or bust. I'm not going to pull a Paul George and flip-flop at the end of the season.
It's easily Western Conference or bust.
It has to
be,
It's easily, right?
Western Conference, like, or bust. And then, you know, you get to the Western Conference finals, and then you figure it out from there. Who
knows? Like, at that point,
who knows
whatever
what the West
happens
is gonna look like.
Can happen.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think, like, seeding plays no part into my head when it comes to expectations because of how good the West is.
Don't care.
It just doesn't really matter. We also don't. It's tough too, because what is live basketball going to look like next year? Like, are we going to do maybe a spring training type thing where there's just multiple bubbles?
Yeah.
Or some goofy ass thing like the MLB is doing?
Well, we talked about in the season, right? At the beginning of last year's season, we said, you know, just due to Paul George missing games and, you know, whatever unknowns could pop up during the season, plus, you know, the way you have to manage Kawhi, you know, we said basically that we didn't care what the seeding was as long as we had home court advantage. And I still do think...
Which, hey, we did, technically.
I still do think that that would have been advantageous for the Clippers, obviously,
yeah,
to be able to close that out.
For sure. Would have helped the Nuggets quite a bit, too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they're great at home.
But it's, I don't know, it's just funny, like, these early expectations, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when we get a new head coach, what the odds look like for gamblers, right? Like,
definitely.
Ty Lue is, they haven't updated the odds in a couple days, but Ty Lue's still the favorite. Jeff Van Gundy, still number two. Which is kind of crazy.
What are the numbers on that bet? Can you bet on the next head coach?
Ty Lue is, you can. Ty Lue's minus 150, so it's a foregone conclusion to Vegas that we're hiring Ty Lue, which I think is wrong. And then Jeff Van Gundy, I think, was plus, maybe like plus 300 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a long shot, but pretty good payout.
Yeah.
You know, based on what they think. But the expectations for the head coach next year, it's like, that's where, we talked about it last segment, that's where this balance between, like, dude, do we want, so we're basically kind of deciding, do we want a first-year coach to potentially coach as well as they've ever coached in their lives and take us to the Western Conference Finals? Because you would think it's your first shot as a head coach. I'm not disrespecting any of the first-year candidates that we've interviewed, but you got to assume you're coaching kind of the best you've ever coached when it's your first year with this Clippers team. You're possibly removing the most played bench player on the team for a very effective bench. Like, you got to be coaching pretty damn well.
See, I actually, like, man, I flip-flop back and forth on this all the time, too.
Yeah.
But doesn't, at a certain point, the talent override the coaching? I think more than anything, I think you just have to unite the locker room and then get out of your own way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And they want someone, like, we talk about the innovation. That's what, like, the Wes Unseld and, like, the Darvin Ham kind of brings for me, because you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Right? So there's that excitement.
But I don't think that Ty Lue doesn't mean innovation. I mean, he saw...
He adjusts.
He had a front row seat to what happened last year.
He had way too close of a seat. Yeah.
And, I mean, I would be very surprised if he hadn't at least lightly recommended some changes.
What if Ty Lue was pulling the Trez out, just the fake cough in the huddle?
I mean, maybe
that might be the only way that
he's like stepping on Trez's shoe on the way out of the locker room. Like, sorry, buddy.
Oh my god,
you better go see the trainer.
He's taking the piece of Mojado sign out of the way when there's a spill or something. No, Ty Lue would never wish injury on anybody, but it just makes the expectations so nuts. And the new coach has, like, I mean, dude, we talked about it with Ralph. Like, Ballmer is a great guy, but Ballmer wants to win. So, like, the first...
Ballmer wants the team to be profitable.
It's always
whatever that looks
like. So here's the thing. The team's always going to be profitable.
That's
like an NFL team, right? Like, if you're a franchise in Los Angeles, you really got to mess up to not be profitable.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, like, the Knicks are still profitable.
It's not like Major League here, right?
Yeah,
the Knicks are still, like, the fourth most valuable franchise in, like, all of sports, which makes no sense. So, like, the team will be profitable. Ballmer did mention he kind of wanted, like, a more fun on-court product.
Would love that.
I would too, but it also freaks me out because I'm like, hey, maybe we'll hire the guy who, like, I have sometimes these daydreams of the Clippers just hiring some random European coach who runs like a wild ass system.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, this is gonna be a good time. I don't think it'll happen.
What if Bruce Buffer just introduces the games?
That, dude, player by player?
Yeah.
I'm in on that. I'm fully in on that. But your expectation is still, it's kind of funny, right? Because, like, it's so funny to say, like, we got to get to the Western Conference, but then after that, whatever happens, happens. When getting to the Western Conference is so hard.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what that is going to look like, you know, obviously, because we haven't seen any of the teams yet get on the court. And, you know, the Warriors are definitely dangerous. The Lakers are going to continue to be dangerous. And depending on what happens in free agency, could possibly even get a little stronger. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, if I'm just...
Because we have another first, yeah.
If I'm Kawhi and or Paul George, and, you know, we...
Paul George especially. Kawhi has the hardware, right? Like, Kawhi has enough stuff that, based on what we know about how Kawhi feels about these things, which is very little.
Yeah.
He's fine, right? Like, he's like, dude, I got the two finals. I'm good. I've done what you set out to do when you become a basketball player.
Yeah.
Whereas Paul George has had a bunch of crazy setbacks.
Yes.
And, dude, you know, he's only, what, two seasons removed from posting absurd numbers in OKC? Like, there's still something there, and he still wants to prove stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean... Yeah, if I'm either one of those guys, and we haven't even made it out of the second round.
Haven't even tasted it.
I am, yeah, seriously questioning if I'm ready to make a long-term commitment.
Agreed. I mean, and with how, you know, with what we know about how contracts are now, what is a new long-term commitment? 3 years? Like, right? Like,
I mean, you know, that is the other side, right? Like, instead of doing the Supermax extension, which I would think at least one of them will do, just because they both waited to get their 10-year.
So to get the huge, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that, you know, that option is obviously on the table if you're willing to make a long-term commitment, which in nowadays NBA doesn't even matter. If you say you want to get traded, franchise essentially will just
you'll
trade
just get
you.
Traded, yeah.
But the other option is, you know, one of them or both of them. I don't see both of them doing it, especially given Paul George's injury history, but you could go the LeBron route and just do the one-and-ones, feel
really
it out for a season or two.
Team, which screws your team.
Screws your team.
A lot of question marks, but hey, you know what?
If you don't want to get traded somewhere, I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think Kawhi wants full agency over the rest of his career.
Yeah, which he deserves. But shout out to Vegas for having our back.
Yeah.
Just that Vegas is like that dad that watches you just like fall over the first hurdle and was like, you know, I thought you were going to make it.
You know, I've only been to Vegas once. Got a cold sore on the first day.
Ooh.
It
was
brutal.
What were you doing?
It was brutal. You were there. I was just living life. No, it just
that
happened.
Was a good time.
It stressed me. It stressed my body out. I don't know, but I hope to return.
Yeah, it was us, our girlfriends, and our buddy. We had Thanksgiving at the Vegas version of Medieval Times.
Yeah.
I got way too drunk. It was a good time. Coming up, we're going to be talking Fiondu Cabangeli, won a team award from the Agua Caliente Clippers that has a fantastic name. But first,
what do you got to talk about?
Look, this is something that sometimes can be difficult to talk about.
What is that?
Erectile dysfunction. Yeah, I said it. It's 2020. We can talk about it. But with Roman, it's very easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, not that stuff you buy at the corner store. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home or apartment or workplace. If, you know, that's kind of where you do those things. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping, Amazon Prime style. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is so easy. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now you can wrestle it down to the ground because there's Roman. Complete an online visit to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to roman.com/lockedonNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's a whole mess of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. One more time, getroman.com/lockedonNBA.
All right, Locked On Clippers coming at you hard with some shavings.
Yes, so Fee, I would say bordering on a fan favorite. Fee is in close to meme fan favorite territory.
Yes.
Close.
Not Milos level.
No. Okay. Come on. Not Milos level. No. Real ones, no. The sleepy god is great. But Fee is like... Fee is in the same range as Angel Delgado was, even though Angel Delgado was putting up bonkers numbers in the G League.
Absurd.
I loved watching... how many 20 and 20 games did he have? Like six?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Anyway, Fee won the Agua Caliente Clippers Not In My House Team Award for the most blocks in the season, which I don't think existed last year, or if it did, they didn't put anything on social media about it. Fee had 53 blocks in 27 games, hardy average of 2 a game. Love it, right? That's good stats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean,
the defensive awareness, you think, has to be getting better if you're averaging 2 blocks, right? He's not a traditional size center.
You know, that's still going to be an issue, and that's been the issue for all. I mean, he's like the third in this line of kind of centers that we've tried to develop in the G League. So what separates him, though...
So it's been Motley, who's kind of a tweener.
Delgado,
who was a tweener, but, I mean, had 20 and 20 games.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Fee, who was a more of a project than maybe either of those guys.
Yeah. So he has one thing, obviously, that the other two didn't, and that's the outside shooting. So that is going to be really solid. I still think that they need to figure out where they're even going to be able to fit him positionally, especially with, you know, assuming that we re-sign at least Jamichael and hopefully Morris as well. Things are pretty packed at the four.
Yeah.
And so to me, that makes it really difficult for him to even get some developmental minutes. And this, I kind of go back and forth on all the time. Like, is it better for a young player to, you know, build up more confidence in the G League? Or is it better to get what little time they can get playing against actual NBA athletes?
Because Mann and Fee had
no opposite... No disrespect to the G League, obviously.
No, obviously not. But Mann and Fee had opposite journeys this season, right? Like, Mann was with the team a bunch.
Yep.
And started some games. But it was just like, oh, you seem like you really need G League time because you're bad at off-ball defense and stuff like that. Whereas Fee, it's like, he's not dominating G League competition because they have this thing where, like, there's this running joke that Fee always has a green light, right? Like, he shot like 30 some less than 35% from three, but he was taking like 6 threes a game for the Agua Caliente Clippers. So it's very clear that it's like, Fee, you're going to be a offensive four.
Yes.
I would assume. But like you said, where's he getting time with a team that has championship expectations and a logjam at the four?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think one or the other way is better for his development?
For next year specifically, keep him in the G League.
That's
like,
fair.
Get the release down. Make it so Fee is averaging, like, and I mean this in a nice way, dumbass numbers in the G League.
Yeah, he also needs to take kind of a different approach to his body, most likely.
He has a little bit of like a, you know, trying to learn how to ice skate, deer walking on ice type thing out there a little bit.
He's very shaky on the court.
And it was his first year. So like, I think it will get better.
And he's also younger than Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, good call.
There's a lot of reasons, but I do think that, for him to carve out more time, I do think developing his like physical capabilities and assuredness a little bit more is going to go a long way.
Which is tough because in the offseason, you'd be like, oh, great, we'll get Fee in the Drew League. We'll get Fee in all these offseason runs that don't really exist. Like, I'd love to see Fee, you know, in a Rico Hines post. That'd be great. But
I
don't know if he's good enough.
I think instead he should just be playing hoop at whatever recreation center and whatever state he has to go to, but wearing the Michelin Man tire suit.
Yeah, get a little more, quicker, you know?
Yeah.
I was also diving into just Fee's totals for the season, which are so weird. He had 37 assists and 36 steals, which is like a mind-blowing ratio to me. That's like, so you're not passing ever really, but you're also stealing it a bunch. Like, that's over one steal a game.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Concern for Fee, 99 personal fouls in 27 games for an average of 3.7 or whatever, basically 4. Like, that's got to get worked on. You can't be hacking people. And in the NBA.
Isn't that kind of your, I mean.
The quickest way to not get playing time as a young player in the NBA is dumb fouls.
Dump fouls. Like, foul, yeah, fouling jump shooters or fouling on it. Yeah,
and
fouling
when you're
on 2-point line.
That'll get you pulled.
But if you got a good hack near the basket.
I don't know.
I think that people are sometimes fine, especially if you're not in the, if the other team's not in the bonus, with letting you soak up a couple.
I don't know if, okay, so how many of the 3.7 fouls that he averaged do you think were quote unquote good hacks?
Three.
I think it's maybe one. But this had us questioning. So in hockey, the Gordie Howe hat trick is a fight, a goal, and an assist in a game. I did it once in a men's league game when I was in college.
Way to go,
buddy. Felt great. Beat the dude's ass. Really garbage goal, so it was kind of a weird thing. it was a really fun time. What's the Gordie Howe hat trick for fee next year?
I think it's 5 points.
Okay.
5 rebounds.
Okay. Fouling out.
5 fouls. 6
five?
Fouls.
See, I was going to say, it has to be. What if it's 6-6-6?
That I love.
That works out, right? All right, so if fee, yeah, 6 points, 6 boards, 6 fouls, that's the fee hat trick right there.
Yes.
I'm on board with that.
In an NBA game, though. Obviously not G League. He needs to be doing
okay,
much better
look,
than
if
that.
If he's averaging 6-6 and 6 fouls in the G League, I'm like, this was a nightmare even for a first-round pick.
Really. Yes. This was a bad idea.
Yeah. Wow, we shouldn't have encouraged him to do those good hacks so much. Anything else in shavings?
No, we got to get out of here. I mean, we're almost over time.
Let's scoot. Thursday's episode, hopefully some more coach talk. Maybe yep. Another Van Gundy brother is going to throw their hat in the ring for the Clippers. Rudy Van Gundy. What if Rudy from the movie Rudy was a Van Gundy? All right, that's a different topic for a different pod. We're going to be doing Worry Thursdays.
Yes, we want to know what you're the most worried about. Obviously, a lot of things on the horizon to be worried about. Lack of a coach.
Hey.
Uncertainty about the roster.
Maybe we'll re-sign Trez. I'm worried about that.
Also, just how much harder the West is going to be next year.
So let us know what you're worried about at Locked On Clips. We'll put a prompt out for sure. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people find our pod?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also available on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you like what we're doing over here, it'd be great if you left us a rating or review. 5 stars really helps us out.
We love it. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.